Going into wide release this weekend is a quirky movie from Hollywood's perhaps quirkiest director, Wes Anderson. The movie's called The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
You should probably put your bandit hat on now. Personally, I don't have one, but I modified this tube sock.
We look good.
Yeah, we do.
That's Wes Anderson himself with actor Jason Schwartzman. Anderson's known for his films like Royal Tenenbaums, The Darjeeling Limited, and The Life Aquatic. We sat down with Wes Anderson last week to talk about the movie, and I asked what had compelled him to take on animation.
Well, I really enjoyed doing it. It's a form of filmmaking that I've always loved, and it has a sort of unique charm. And there's something about it where you can sort of sense how the illusion is being created in front of you, and it's done by hand. And I've always been drawn to it.
Did you grow up watching the Rankin and Bass Christmas specials and New Year's Eve specials on TV?
We were so excited when those would be on.
I was too.
We just waited for those. Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Roald Dahl's novels can be challenging for younger readers and for adults. And I'm wondering, why did you choose this particular story from Roald Dahl?
Well, I chose it really because it was the first one I read as a child, and it made such an impression on me. It turned me on to Roald Dahl, who became one of my heroes, and I've always kept this book with me. You know, it's always been on my shelves wherever I've been. It's not one that ended up in a box in my mother's house. Yeah, and then when it occurred to me that I'd like to do stop motion, I wanted to do a stop motion movie with puppets with fur, and
which is hard.
And this was very suited to that.
Why this particular story? I mean, why has it stayed with this one? I mean, what lesson did you take away from it that it stayed with you all these years?
There's something very dull about a main character who rescues everyone because of his ingenuity. And I think also the fact that the whole mess in the first place is caused by his personality. You know, he saves them, but he also got them in trouble in the first place, and they would have been fine if he hadn't been there. Something about that combination, I think, drew me in.
Working with the stop animation and then the voices, these are actors, most of them whom you've worked with in real life. What was the difference in your approach with directing them as voice actors as opposed to directing them as live actors?
I don't know if there was much difference. I think, in fact, I didn't even really cast them for their voices when I think about it. I was interested in George Clooney just because I was a fan and because he's so heroic in movies. It was only when we went back to the editing room after having recorded the voices. We recorded everybody on a farm together in Connecticut. And they just played out the scenes like they were in a movie. They were actually doing a lot of physical stuff. We just weren't filming it. We were just taping it. But then when I went in the editing room and listened to the voice, I realized how much, for instance, George Clooney, how much his performances come from his voice and how much we had gotten just from that.
How do you audition a puppet if you're Wes Anderson and have an idea that you're trying to match?
I worked with different people drawing plans. Then, you know, once you have a drawing that you're saying, this is what we want to do, then you make a sculpture. And that sculpt is the basis for the puppet, and then it's produced. And at a certain point, you've got this puppet, and you hand it to an animator, and you say, "See what you can do with this. Take it for a test run." And they try everything they can, and you see how it works. And what ends up happening is all the theories that everyone, you know, there's a group of extremely experienced, extremely talented people, and everybody's got some ideas about what's going to work and what's not, but we're all surprised in the end by what works and what doesn't.
Things like more cheeks?
I'm wondering how the actors reacted. Did Meryl Streep come back and say, "I can't believe you made my puppet look like that"? I mean, what was their reaction seeing it for the first time?
Actually, Meryl Streep didn't see any animated work until the film was completely finished. Bill Murray had come to London and he'd seen some things along the way, but you know, different people saw it at different points. But Meryl saw the finished film, which was actually a great way to see it, because she got to see, you know, for her, she'd done these scenes, and in a way, she'd sort of guided the movie in a certain direction because she brought a lot of emotion to her performance, and it affected what we did later.
I've seen her do radio plays. Her voice is unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, she has. I mean, you know, I mean, she's Meryl Streep, so it's no surprise that she can do anything. But still, it really. I felt even as we were recording it that the stakes were being raised in the movie right in front of me.
Wow!
I read that you had actually you worked with Roald Dahl's literary his estate, and that you actually went to the hut where he wrote many of his books and stayed in there while you were working on the screenplay, and then you based some of the sets for the film on the hut that you worked in?
Yes. Well, in fact, he has he had a house, and his family still has this house, and quite a lot of land in a place called Great Missenden, that's about an hour and 20 minutes from London, and it's a wonderful place. And on that property, it's called Gypsy House because he changed the name to Gypsy House because a family of gypsies came by one day and he bought their caravan from them, and the caravan is still behind the house.
It's a fantasy of mine. It's a fantasy of mine.
Most people don't get that chance.
I know.
But on the property, he wrote the book there, and he had built a little hut where he wrote every day, and it's sort of this famous writing hut. We didn't write in the actual hut, but we used everything on the property in one way or another in the film.
So it's the first Roald Dahl book you read, right? You told us that.
Yes.
It sounds like this book did you some enormous sort of favor in your life. Do you think you've returned the favor by doing this movie?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't presume to say I wouldn't say we've returned the favor to Roald Dahl. I feel like we've just taken from Roald Dahl. But we certainly thank him.
Okay, Wes Anderson's new film called The Fantastic Mr. Fox. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Fantastic Mr. Fox was released nationally yesterday.